Amen. Let's get into it this morning. 1 Corinthians 15 and 44 through 54. We'll read about 10 verses. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. One place it says, it does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we shall be like him when he comes. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. God breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. The last man, Adam, which was Christ, was made a quickening spirit. He brought life. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural came first, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as in the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up, woo, in victory. Death is swallowed up. You ever had a bad pill and you just, mama just said, just swallow it and it'll be over with. Death is swallowed up in victory. I want to talk from a strange title this morning, Dead Before You Know It. Dead Before You Know It. Amen. Lord, I come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that we have on this little piece of real estate right here in Carlos, Louisiana, to bring the word of God to people that are hungry. They have gotten up, got dressed, could have done other things, but chose to come to the house of God. Lord, you've never sent anybody home hungry if we all do our part. So Lord, help me to preach, help them to open up their ears that we might fill our vessel with the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Dead before you know it. This expression has been used many times to emphasize how quickly something can come upon you when you're not even aware of it. It just, boom, it was there before I knew it. And many times we talk about, well, it'll be over before you know it. And it happened before I knew it. And it just, I didn't see it coming. And you know what? You'll get old before you know it. There's a song that I used to hear, and it was, I looked it up to see who the man that wrote it. It was some French guy, and it used to be called, Only Yesterday was the name of it. But it was retitled and somewhat rewritten and called Yesterday When I Was Young. And I remember... Do you remember sitting in the reading class? No, I won't do that. You caught that? And yesterday, when I was young, I want to read to you, if I may, the lyrics of this song. Yesterday, when I was young, the taste of life was sweet as rain upon my tongue. I teased at life as if it were a foolish game, the way the evening breeze may tease a candle flame. The thousand dreams I dreamed and splendid things I planned, I always built a last on weak and shifting sand. I lived by night and shunned the naked light of the day, and only now I see how the years ran away. Yesterday, when I was young, so many drinking songs were waiting to be sung. So many wayward pleasures lay in store for me, and so much pain my dazzled eyes refused to see. Don't want to talk about it. I ran so fast that time and youth at last ran out. I never stopped to think what life was all about. And every conversation I can now recall concerned myself with me and nothing else at all. Yesterday the moon was blue and every crazy day brought something new to you. I used my magic age as if it were a wand. I never saw the waste and emptiness beyond. The game of love I played with arrogance and pride, and every flame I lit too quickly, quickly died. The friends I made all seemed somehow to drift away, and only I am left on stage to end the play. There are so many songs in me that won't be sung. I feel the bitter taste of tears now upon my tongue. The time has come for me to pay for yesterday when I was young. You ever really, I've heard that song. Bing Crosby sang it. Andy Williams sang it. Even that guy on Hee Haw sang it. What was his name? I just want to see if y'all watched Hee Haw. That's all I was trying. Roy Clark. He sang it. Yesterday. I think keep that little chair in your mind. I don't think anybody can tell me the day you figured out you were living. Do you remember the day, hey, I'm alive? No. No, you came to life before you knew it. Before you knew it, anything, you were crying and your mama was rocking you and feeding you. I'll never forget my mom rocking me, and she used to sing that same old song. She couldn't sing all of it, so she'd hum part of it. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. She raised me, rocking me. And it talked about a double cure. It was old. I was old before I had to look up, what's a double cure? But one day you realize, I'm alive. And then when you finally realize you're alive, you realize it won't last. I wish I could preach to the whole world today. Solomon wrote a book in Ecclesiastes. It's called the Book of the Preacher. And he compared man's life to time. He said there's a time to live and a time to die, a time to love and there's a time to hate, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to laugh and a time to mourn. And he talked about all the times. He said, I returned and looked under the sun. He said, I went back and I got in the chair and I looked back at my life and said, what have I done? Where did it go? Even my old grandpa said, it seemed like just yesterday I was behind my mom pulling on her apron strings. That's when women used to cook. Whatever the Bible says, he said, whatever your hands find to do, he said, do it with all your might. He said, because there is no work, there's no device, there's no knowledge, there's no wisdom when you lay down. It all goes. Started sitting up. Sit up now. Sit up. And then you lay down. I returned, he said, I looked back at my life and I said, you know, it was vanity. It was vanity. It was vexation of the soul. And I realized the only thing that matters was what I did for God. The race was not to the swift, the one that jumped the highest, the one that shouted the most, the one that spoke in tongues the most. That's phoniness, if you will. That doesn't mean you're living for God. It can be a facade. Here's the problem, my brothers and sisters, with the church. He told the woman at the well, he said, the time has come and now is that the true worshipers must worship me in spirit and truth, for God is a spirit. And what happens is churches and people learn the mechanics of it. And once you learn the mechanics of it, you can leave the spirit out and just operate in the truth. Oh, this is good. You operate in the truth because you know the mechanics of it. You know how to do it. You know the song to play. You know the keynote. You know exactly how to get it going. But the Spirit must perform it. It's the zeal of the Lord that performs it, and not you. And even Saul knew the mechanics of offering a sacrifice, but it took the high priest, the spiritual one, to offer it. And one day, where's that guy at? Where's he at? He's delayed his coming. I got a battle to fight. I need to hurry. And Samuel was a little late, as lots of times preachers are. And he said, I hope I'm not. But anyway, he got tired. He said, I know how to do this. I know the mechanics of it. Bring me a bull. Bring me a calf. Bring me the sheep. And he did it himself. He did it in truth. But the Spirit wasn't in it. There is a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. I'm preaching this morning. Hallelujah. So Solomon said, the problem is man doesn't know his time. By the time you realize your time, it's up. David said, a man's life is short-lived. It's like the grass upon the housetop. You ever seen grass upon a housetop? They would take, I've seen it in gutters. You ever seen trees start growing in gutters, you know? Well, on a housetop, they would take the limbs and the things to make their roof. And it would get wet and it would rain. And sometimes there was seeds in the grass. And they would sprout up. It looked like he planted something green on his house. Give it a little heat and a little sun and no rain. He said it's like the house upon the grass top, upon the housetop, which whither afore it groweth up. That's right. And it's like the flower that blooms and it's gone. James said it's like a vapor that appeared for a short time and it's gone. There's no remembrance in the grave. Yesterday, when I was young, you're dead before you know it. Scripture says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. By the time you finally get financially fit and you got your kids raised, you start getting ARP magazine. What's with that? I'm 50 years old. I'm getting ARP magazine. You already got one. And then you start getting calls and cards about burial plots and all of this kind of stuff. And used to, I'd throw those ARP magazines in the trash. But now I'm like, what they got going on in that thing? Maybe I'll get a discount for something. And by the time you get there and you've accomplished, and it's time to give it up. I've often thought about my age, and here's the way I looked at myself is a good test to see how much longer you got left. Just double your age and see where that brings you. I ain't gonna make it. I'd be 120. I'd be like Abraham walking around. Just double your age. What I'm trying to tell you, you've already lived half of it probably already or more. If you're 35, double it, you're 70. Last time I did my math, and 70 is all the years God promised, 10 more by strength. You got 1 foot. It's depressing. I'm gonna get better later. No one chooses to die, for it is appointed unto man once to die. You may choose the timing, various people have done that, but you will die. But did you know this? I'm going to shock you. That there is life after death for everybody. Everyone that dies will make a resurrection. We always talk about our resurrection. But dead, all the dead will rise again. You go read the book of Revelations. The sea coughs them up. The grave coughs them up. The air coughs them up. Everybody's going to be, will rise again. Some into everlasting life, but some into eternal life or death, as it's called in hell. So when we look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. See, with Adam, everybody dies. But with Christ, see, some people wish Christ would have never come because they would be better off just stay dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every sinner will come back to life. See, you hadn't thought about it. You're just talking about your resurrection, how you're going to live again. But everybody is going to rise again. They're going to, some will, we're all going to have everlasting something. Because once you're brought into this life, you can't back out. On the resurrection day is a day of separation of those that enter into the joy of the Lord. It's the sheep and the goats, the right and the left, and those that go into everlasting punishment. So he lets us know there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. There's incorruption and there's mortal and there's immortality. And the living saints, the living saints will be dead before they know it. See, he said, the living saints, those that are dead will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment. And then I'll be dead before you know it. If he comes back now before I know it, I'm dead. Because you can't go. No, not, brother. Flesh and blood cannot enter there. Whew, is this okay this morning? Jesus said that if your hand offends you, cut it off. Now, see, when I was sitting in this little chair, they can't teach up there what I teach in here. It's hard to teach them little kids, if your hand offends you, cut it off. Brother, they taught me that. That was dangerous. Because you know what? At some point, I couldn't quit sinning. Come on. He said, if it offends you, cut it off. You need to be mature enough to know when to cut it off. And if your hand offends thee, cut it off, because he said it'd be better to go into heaven maimed than to go to hell and have both hands, both members. And then he said, this is in Mark, he talks about this. He said, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Then he goes on to say, if your foot offend thee, cut it off. Cut it off. It'd be better to be halt and go into life than to go into hell with both your feet, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it'd be better for you to go into heaven with a patch on one eye and have eternal life than to go into hell and see Lazarus and the rich man up there with both your eyes. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Three times he said that in Mark. And what he's saying here, where the worm never dies, it's a place they had, and it comes from the book of Isaiah. It's the prophecies in Isaiah. And there was a place, a big valley, where they would bring dead folks. And there were so many wars going on, so many people dying, that they would bring them in there and just lay them out there. And before they could burn them, the worms never died. The worms would eat that body, and by the time they'd get that body and go burn it, then the worms just moved over to the next body. And the next body, and the next body. And the fire, the fuel for the fire was the carcasses. So he compared it to, did you know that? Did you learn something? So it's a place where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. He compared that hell to that graveyard. You'll be dead before you know it. Christ will come back before you know it. Grandpa preached, Paul preached, my dad preached. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And we're still here. But I want to tell you that in Matthew 24 and 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. They were lost before they knew it. And they were beating on the door. Noah, let us in. I can't. God shut the door. And before you know it, it was too late. I wished I had a house full of sinners here. Then two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. It's going to happen before you know it. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. It's going to happen before you know it. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord cometh. It's going to happen before you know it. He's coming back, but before you know it. By the time you figure it out, it's too late. By the time the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will be gone before you know it. The Bible talks about a man who had planted in a field, and the Bible says it yielded sumptuously, plenty. It was a bumper crop. And it yielded so much that he didn't even know where to put. He already was full. But it yielded so much that he decided, rather than give it away, I'm going to talk to my soul. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns to store all my goods. And when I finish with that, I'll say, soul, take thine ease. For I have stored up years of goods for you. And the Lord said, thou fool, this night. It happened before he knew it. It happened before he knew it. It happened when he wasn't counting on it. Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of you. And whose thing shall this be that you have stored? The very thing he was storing for was taken from him. I've often said you're one phone call away. One diagnosis away. And before you know it, life has changed. I'm hastening this morning. It's a terrible thing to worry about death because you're not ready to meet the Lord in peace. But the only way I can tell you not to worry about death is to die now. Okay. The way to combat death is face it now. So how do you face death? The answer is face your sins now. And then you won't have to worry about death. Because I'm already dead. How long does it take to die? How long does it take to repent? We'll tell you how long it takes to die. Some people can drag death out for 30 years trying to die. Others are dead before you know it. Finally, you get tired of a life of sin. I've often said you will never quit sinning till you're sick of it. You have to hate it to love God. And some people will drag this death out when you can be dead in a matter of minutes. Minutes. Watch Romans 6 and 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no dominion over him. That's why he told Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that liveth shall never die. If in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin reign or rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. As they come this morning, I want to tell you, you need to be a walking dead man. You need to be a walking dead man. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Just as quick this morning, people could be dead and alive again. As soon as you die, you understand what I'm trying to preach to you? Maybe not. Okay, the mortal body, it says, we that are alive shall be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet him, right? The same thing is true in born again. As soon as you die, you can be born again. In the moment in the twinkling of an eye, you are changed. From the person you are, into the newness of life. Even though you still have flesh and blood, Brother Petrie, the day you got dead is the day you come alive. The day you died to sin is the day you came alive. You were dead before you know it, and you were alive before you know it. Hallelujah. It doesn't take long as you stand this morning. Death and repentance are synonymous. Repentance is death to the old man. Death. I remember when Lazarus, the Lord was told by Martha, Mary, they sent word about Lazarus is sick. And they wanted to get his attention, so they said, he's sick unto death. This is not your regular sickness. He's sick unto death. And Jesus said, let him die. Let him die. Because you can't live again until you die. You can't live again until you die. Until you die to sin, you will never live again. So, Lord, I love preaching to people that are wanting to die. Hypocrites bother me. Jesus didn't fool with hypocrites because they act like they're alive when he said inside you're full of dead men's bones. You need to die. And so I like to preach to people that are sick unto death. They know they're doomed. They know they're lost. They know they're a sinner, and they know they can't make it. They know they're going to hell. See, you can't find people that know they're going to hell today. I want to preach to sinners that know I'm going to hell. I'm sick unto death. And when you're sick unto death, the resurrection is waiting for you. Life is waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to die so he can come back and say, where have you laid him? Hallelujah. I wish this morning, here's my little chair. You remember? Brother Johnson, you remember? Kindergarten. You remember your first grade teacher? Yes, sir. Who remembers their first grade teacher? Oh, look at there. See, I can't remember what happened 15 minutes ago, but I can remember what happened about 40-something years ago, 50-something years ago. Yesterday, when I was young. How much time do you have left? You don't know, right? So I encourage you this morning, get busy doing something for God. As they sing this morning, I wish right there where you're at, you close your eyes. And whatever it is you keep hanging on to, whether it's hurt feelings, anger, malice, lied or cheated on, I wish you'd just let it die. Just let it die. Just let it go. Because if you don't let it go, it's going to stay alive. And it's got to die. Above all else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time's getting away from you, my friend. It's getting away from you. Before you know it, it's over. It's over. And the master will return and say, what did you do with my talents? What did you do while I was gone? Hallelujah. I don't care what you did for yourself. What did you do for me while I was gone? He's going to require it of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I must be saved. Let it go, somebody. Let it die. Hallelujah. I know they did you wrong. Maybe they didn't pay you back. I don't know, but let it go. Let it go. Hallelujah. Don't be held hostage to a dead situation. You have to do to me. Don't let me be lost for eternity, above all else. You're going to be meeting him quicker than you think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible talks about redeeming the time, knowing the time. It said we all slept. We all slumbered. There was 10 virgins. Guess what? They all slept. They all slept. And when they said, the bridegroom cometh, it happened before they knew it. They all got sleepy. They all got in church. They all, praise the Lord. But after a while, they all got sleepy. There's a song that we listen to every once in a while. Sister Woodard, my wife and I do. She plays it a lot. And it says, it's a choir singing. And it says, what will you be doing when Jesus comes? What will you be doing when Jesus comes? You don't have much time, somebody. You know, once you realize you're running out of time, then you try to redeem the time. Oh, what can I do? I need to do this. I need to do that. You get a bucket list real quick. This is what I need to do. But when Jesus died, he had done it all. His bucket list was to get a bucket and wash some feet on his way out. That was on his bucket list, number one. As you see me do this to you, do it to others. Hallelujah. One more time. Yesterday, when I was young, you remember all that? you skipped in your run in life. But one day you got to realize this won't last forever. And then one day as a Christian, you got to realize he's coming back. Hey, he's coming back. And what will I have on his returning? What will I have when he comes back? That talent that he gave me, did I hide it in a napkin? Did I dig it and put it in the ground? And he called him a wicked and a slothful servant. Or will I say, Master, here's what you gave me, and then some, and then some. He's looking for the and then some. He said, I want mine with usury. Don't just give him back your ghost that he gave you. He wants some then some. Hallelujah. Oh, did I make any sense this morning to you? Hallelujah. You don't have long. You better pray more than you ever prayed. You better fast more than you ever fast. You better witness more than you ever witnessed. Try to redeem the time because it's short. And he said he would shorten the days so we don't have long left. Let's pray. God, I come before you this morning. Open up our eyes to the time that we live in. Hallelujah. Not just the times we live in, but the time that I live in, God. Hallelujah. We come and we go, but Lord, our souls are required of us. And all the stuff that we accumulate will stay behind. And we will go on into eternal life. Lord, I do ask you this morning. You said the first man, Adam, was earthy, but the second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. And Lord, I ask you, let that quickening spirit quicken our hearts and bring us to life this morning. Bring us to the realization that time is short. And whatever we're going to do, we better do it now with all of our might and all of our soul and all of our strength. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I don't want to be one of these old codgers that just reminisces. You know, I've been under preachers that reminisce about what happened. I don't want to be a reminiscer. I want to be thankful for what God did back then, but I want to always be moving forward. Hallelujah. That was yesterday. I'm walking in today. Hallelujah. I've got to walk into tomorrow. That's great. He opened the Red Sea back then, but he wants to do a new thing. And unless I'm open to the new thing, no new thing will be done. Hallelujah. You can't live on old bread. He said, I am the bread that comes from heaven. I'm the fresh bread, not the bread that your fathers did eat in the wilderness and are dead. Oh, hallelujah. I better quit. Somebody better come get me. Give me some medicine or something. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. You're visiting with us. We certainly appreciate you coming. And I hope somehow that the word of the Lord benefits you for coming here this morning. Amen. Let's sing another little song as we go home.